G'day there, folks. Paul here, signing in as we continue our video series, Snapshots in the Writings of Luke. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. Let's get straight into it. Luke chapter 5, we're in that middle section, verses 12 through to 26, we're looking at today. As always, I would ask, if you're not familiar with this section of Scripture, please just pause the video one moment, come back, and then we'll continue with our notes. Great. Thank you so much. Let's go. Verse 12, Luke chapter 5. And it happened when he, that's Jesus, was in a certain city, we see from the parallels, still in Capernaum, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And I love this. Jesus says he put out his hand and he touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. Oh boy. There's so much in this. Let me pause right there. I wish I had more time, but it's a snapshot. A couple of things, if I may, before we continue. Number one, leprosy. In that time, in that place, leprosy was a horrible, devastating, destructive condition. I believe it's a bacterial infection, what we would now call Hansen's disease. And for the sake of the community, those suffering this would be cast out, literally, to have their own place where they would live, away from everybody else, to protect the community. First thing Jesus does is break convention here, and he touches him. It says, I'm willing, be cleansed. I love our God and how he breaks convention and he brings healing in such ways that we would not think, oh, it shouldn't happen like that. No, Jesus is not bound by such convention. I love that. And another thing that I see here, and we see this so often here in Scripture, mentions and stories and testimony of healing. I have, in my past, struggled at different times. Why don't we see it now in our own lives like we do then? Now, I don't have time to address this in full detail, but I want to make a couple of things crystal clear if I can. Number one, healing is God's will for his people. He is. The fellow says, if you are willing, he says what? I am willing. Absolutely. He is not reluctant to heal. No, we now are invited because of Scripture, because of the Holy Spirit within, because of the work of Christ on the cross. We are invited to come. We are invited to ask. We are invited to trust in his compassion on us, in this infirmed body that we live in, to trust him. But the question arises, and we've got to be honest as we look at Scripture. Why then? Why does it seem that sometimes healing doesn't come or is delayed? Why, Lord, why? Well, in the New Testament, and we see examples of these, we also see reason each and every single time. And I mean, maybe just a couple of examples. The most famous would be Paul and the thorn in the flesh. Now, there is debate over as to what that was. Yes, it does not say, we do not know. It could have been external circumstances or it could have been internal in his flesh. Could be either way. Doesn't matter. Either way, God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you doing a greater work in them. We see in Paul's missionary journeys, later in the book of Acts, we'll come to this, one of the companions, Trophimus, left behind because of sickness. Healing not coming, at least not recorded in Scripture at that time. We see Timothy, one of Paul's companions, had constant problems and infirmities that he struggled with, and Paul giving instruction in writing for physical help. We see these different things. So if I can just wrap this up very quickly for you, perhaps as a take home, and yes, pray about this further, and yes, dig into Scripture further. The key is in understanding God's will. Is healing his will? Yes, absolutely. His way and in his timing. That is his will. See, sometimes, and we see example of this, God might be doing a greater work in us, that his power may be demonstrated through us in the weakness. Sometimes his timing just seems to differ from ours. I mean, hey, Lord, I'm not feeling good. I want to pray now. But there's something happening there. maybe something someone else needs to see that we don't. And in Luke 17, we'll come to it, there's a time where 10 lepers, I believe, come to Jesus, and he sends them on their way. Healing comes along the way. And in John 9, we see illustration of a blind man, a discussion that takes place, to which Jesus says, "This is that the power of God might be revealed." And I say this as encouragement for you, please, to understand that if you are praying for something now or praying for somebody else or in the future and healing does not seem to come or is delayed, it does not mean that God has rejected you. No, absolutely not. He is able to heal. He is compassionate to heal. He is wise in his healing. Sometimes, yes, healing for the body. I've seen this in my own life, miraculous healing. Sometimes there's a greater need, healing for the heart, healing for the soul. And I have, I guess, one thing. Let me just finish with this. A promise. One day in the resurrection, oh, glory be to God, in the resurrection, he will make all things new. Yes, yes. The new covenant that we now live under in Christ, it is not about healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's not. It's about resurrection life. And he will work all things together for good for those who love him. Romans chapter 8. And the good is resurrection life, us with him in eternity. Just a thought. Back to the story, verse 14. I could go about this stuff all day, but I got to stick to the script. He, Jesus, charged him, this is the man with leprosy, to tell no one. He said to him, "Don't tell anyone. Go show yourself to the priest, make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them that they can see," because they're the ones who have said, "You can't be part of the community." But once he sees the testimony, they can let him back in, just as Moses commanded. Now, this was according to Levitical law, and I love it. You know, an incurable disease, and yet there is provision in the law for when healing comes, for these people to come back into community. And so Jesus is healing here, not just the body, but the heart, mind, and soul as well for this man. Verse 15, however, the report went around concerning him, this is Jesus, all the more. I can imagine. And the multitudes came together to hear and be healed by him of their infirmities. The crowds are gathering. The people are coming. This is curious. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Verse 16. And I did mention this earlier. Of all the Gospels, Luke writes more, spends more time illustrating Jesus' time in prayer. And I see it coming up so much. And I think to myself, the Son of God needing to retire quietly in prayer and talk with the Father. How much more us, yes? I wonder sometimes if the angels, perhaps, I don't know if they do this, but you know, they sit around and they discuss their mission, what they're doing with us, and maybe that they discuss our lack of time in prayer. You know, why aren't they taking that to God? Look what's happening. Why aren't they just praying to God? Why aren't they looking and seeking for help and for strength from God on this? It's a mystery. Yes, it is a mystery. The mystery of us, infirmed man. We all do it. I'm pointing my own finger here this way. Verse 17. It happened on a certain day that he was teaching, and there was, this is curious, Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town, Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. So some of them, to Capernaum, they've walked a couple of days to get there after hearing these reports. And then Luke also writes, we'll come back to this, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. This is those who were around. Two things we see here. Number one, Jesus is starting to attract some attention, not from those who seek to learn from him, but from those who look to discredit him. He's a threat to them and to their ways of authority. And B, Luke writing, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So here we see Luke, the physician, bringing clarity into what's happening. And his choice of words, very clear. Behold, verse 18, men brought on a bed one who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in, the one to lay before him, but they couldn't find a way through that they could bring him in because of the crowd. So they're carrying this dude on a bed and they can't get through because of the crowd. So they went up onto the housetop, Jesus obviously in a housetop, a house at this time, sorry, and they let him down with his bed through the tiling area, the roof, into the midst where Jesus was. So a typical rooftop in this place, flat, it was extra workspace, extra living space, often, you know, some external stairs is the easiest way to build it, to get up the top there, not a roof like ours. And so they go up there, they take this fella that they're carrying on a bed and they dig through the hardened and the packed clay and then they lower him down before Jesus. And verse 20, Jesus sees them, he saw their faith, the faith of the friends, looks then at the man, and I can see him looking him here in the eyes, aware of the crowd around, and he says, man, your sins are forgiven you. Now, there is so much going on here. So we've got this scene, and it's charged with spiritual weight because of what's happening and the words that are being said. And for the first time, we see here mention of the people in the crowd, not just the people, but also the Pharisees and the teachers of the law as well. And Luke adds, in effect, you know, despite this tension, as there would have been with the teachers and Pharisees there, that God's power, it is on display right now. He's saying, pay attention. This is important. And we see the wording, to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And yet, we only see one story of healing, this one man. And it carries a double meaning, which is why I think it's so important. Healing for the body, yes, but as we also see, forgiveness of sins, healing for the heart, healing for eternity. And when Jesus sees the faith of the man being lowered down and their friends, he says, oh, your sins, they are forgiven. This is faith. By grace we are saved. What? Through faith. And I can imagine, despite the crowd, despite the hubbub, you could have cut the air with a knife in that moment. Your sins are forgiven you? Really? Verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees, they begin to, you know, discuss and reason amongst themselves, saying, who is this? Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? I can imagine this was like, wait, what? Who can do this except God? Exactly. They've come to find a way to entrap him, but instead they walk straight into his trap. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, verse 22, he answered. He would have just perceived and answered the questions in their mind. Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Why are you thinking about this? Why are you not saying something? What is easier to say, Jesus asks? Your sins are forgiven you? Or maybe I should just say, rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he says to the one who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go to your house. What's easier? And here's the challenge. Check my words, Jesus says now, and my actions. See them. And this is the meat of it. This is the meat of it for us. I mean, it's easy to say something, yeah? But not so easy to do it, That's the key. And what a beautiful example. What a beautiful example we see here. How many times, I couldn't count them, how many times do we see someone, yeah, yes, even a Christian, say one thing but then go and do another? How many times have we done it? But this is our example right here in Holy Scripture, and to be an example then for others. Jesus sees them thinking, who does he think he is? Is he God? People look at us. Thought you were supposed to be a Christian. Jesus says to them, what's easier, actions or words? Our actions and our words have to line up, guys. Jesus speaks to them with authority, that you may, what? Know. And we must too. Speaking not with our own authority, but with his. Not boasting, but with humility. Our job is to speak the word and then let the Spirit do the work. Verse 25, immediately he, this is the man who was paralyzed, he rose up, took up what he'd been lying on, departed to his own house, glorifying God, and they all around were amazed. They glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "Oh, we've seen some strange things here today." Strange indeed, yeah. Who is this man who heals men and forgives sins? God. Amen. Talk soon. Bye-bye.